Okay, so I said I had a few questions for y'all, too. What is the best thing to put into Christmas cake? Your teeth. What do the elves sing to Santa at the North Pole Christmas Eve party? Freeze a jolly good fellow. If athletes get athlete's foot, what do astronauts get? Aha! Thank you. We've got one who's pretty awake this morning, Mistletoe. I like that one the best. Okay, so we are going to read from the scriptures in Luke this morning. This is the scriptures in which Elizabeth and Mary greet one another. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said,
"My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed."
"My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior."
"My soul glorifies the Lord,
and my spirit rejoices."
"My spirit rejoices
in God, my Savior."
"My Savior."
"My soul glorifies."
"Glorifies."
"Glorifies."
"Glorifies the Lord."
"And my spirit rejoices."
"Rejoices."
"Rejoices."
"Rejoices in God, my Savior."
"From now on."
"From now on."
"All generations."
"All generations."
"All generations shall call me blessed."
"For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation."
"For the Mighty One has done great things for me."
"Great things."
"Holy is his name."
"Holy."
"Holy."
"Holy is his name."
"His mercy
extends to those who fear him."
"His mercy."
"His mercy."
"His mercy extends to those who fear him."
"From generation
to generation."
"From generation to generation."
"He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their utmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty."
"He has performed mighty deeds with his arm."
"He has scattered those who are proud
in their inmost thoughts."
"Their inmost thoughts."
"He has brought down rulers from their thrones,
but has lifted up the humble."
"God has lifted up
the humble."
"He has filled the hungry with good things."
"Good things."
"Good things."
"But has sent the rich away
empty."
"He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers."
"God has helped his servant Israel."
"Remembering
to be merciful
merciful
to Abraham and his descendants forever.
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 My soul glorifies the Lord.
My soul.
My soul.
My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.
My spirit rejoices.
My spirit rejoices.
My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
This is the word of God for us, the people of God today. Thanks be to God. So Mary arrived in the anxious shame of her unwed pregnancy, greeted by Elizabeth, who had lived through the anguish and shame of barrenness, and Mary responded to Elizabeth's blessing with a song of victory. Mind you, no gain had occurred. No victory was won. For those of you thinking about football this afternoon, it was like singing and rejoicing before the touchdown. You see, Mary fully accepted the challenge, the bitter challenge of her situation, and she rejoiced. She exalted even. My soul magnifies the Lord. Mary submitted to God and exalted, not only rejoicing God's favor upon her, but with the victory given through God's mighty power to save, through God the warrior who delivers his people, and God the merciful who remembers the lowly. You know, I wonder if it was because Mary was young and her youth allowed her. What are those scriptures that say the kingdom of God belongs to such as these? Or that a little child shall lead them? Well, this morning, Mary's proclamation gives us three things to consider. My soul rejoices in the Lord. First of all, Mary celebrates how good God is, period. Her life circumstances are unsure at best. She is walking outside the boundaries of ancient culture. She is vulnerable physically. She has not one leg to stand on socially. There is nothing in her community to hold her up right now. And yet she rejoices. Yet she is grateful to God. As a woman in the ancient world, she knows her powerlessness. But she also recognizes her worth. She knows that God makes her worthy no matter what her circumstances. And her gift is living in the knowledge of God's love. She is not full of herself. She is not proud. She identifies her purpose is to worship God. Her purpose is to sing God's praises. I want to tell you about a dear friend of mine, a friend of mine whose name was Johanna. Johanna was diagnosed with breast cancer when her daughter, Chrissy, was 3 years old. And treatment began. And treatment went on for years. When her daughter was finishing high school, Johanna required very aggressive treatment. Johanna died when her daughter was 21 years old. Now listen up. Johanna was one of those people who prayed. She prayed for everyone. She kept track of our prayer list at church. She wrote devotions. She made lists of those who need prayer on a weekly basis. And every single time that we got together to pray out loud together, whether we were praying for her own situation in a private place, or whether we were praying for someone else, whether we were in a healing service or in worship, wherever we were, Johanna began every prayer with these words: "Oh God, you are so good." Imagine that in her circumstances. People who point to God do so because they let go of all the idolatry. They're empty enough to have room for God to take up space within them. Mary had no idols taking up space within her, but she had capacity to grow God instead. And though her circumstances were fragile at best, she had joy for all that was to come. What would that mean for you this Christmas? What challenging situation could you rejoice over? What unmet need or desire would have your heart singing praises to God? Now, I think it's too bad that the world has become so technology-oriented, because the thing about technology is that it offers instant gratification. Where our grandmother's generation would write letters to discuss their lives over weeks' time and months, in fact, we can press a text message and want an answer in just seconds. Too bad that science has become so precise. We have names for every single part of an atom. With this kind of precision and desire for accurate information to understand the way everything in our world works, we have lost a sense of imagination. I'll tell you another story. The day my sister Linda's husband died, Glenn was 44, we had been gathering at his bedside for over a week. He had been in ICU and, you know, trading places between his bedside and the waiting room. And after Glenn died that afternoon, Linda, along with a couple of our family members, took a walk in the park nearby the hospital. And sitting down on a park bench, exhausted, with hearts full of anguish and sadness. You see, there were three little boys at home who would grow up alone without their dad. But someone in our family looked up, and there, hanging over the telephone wires, was a pair of basketball shoes, high tops basketball shoes. Now, it's really common in Boston for runners to toss their running shoes up to display after a marathon. But basketball shoes? Why were they there? Well, the thing about Glenn was that Glenn was an avid basketball player. Everyone in town knew him because he played basketball every day in the town basketball courts. Now, I am sure there is some rational explanation for why those basketball shoes were hanging over that wire. But for my family, that moment was the hinge between life and death. A moment of recognition that all was well. Too bad we have so many scientific and rational answers to our questions, so many immediate answers. Too bad we've become so impatient. Because if this story of God coming to us has anything for us to learn today, Mary teaches us first that entering an unknown path at an unknown time is a time for rejoicing. Now, the second thing that Mary proclaims to us through her beautiful song is the reminder of God's promises coming to fulfillment in the birth of the Messiah. She says his mercy extends from generation to generation. He's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. You see, God works through generations, bringing fulfillment of his plan, his love through Christ. What are we doing for this next generation to facilitate their faithfulness? You see, God works through generations to bring about the fulfillment of his plan. Just for a moment, recall what it is to hold an infant. An infant whose only power comes through the dependency of their relationship. Well, our dependency on God must be nurtured. We must nurture our dependency on God to the generation, the next generation. Now think about Mary and Elizabeth for a minute. They were two generations, a very old woman who had been barren all her life, and a very young woman, unexpectedly pregnant. Elizabeth blesses Mary at the quickening within her, the recognition of the presence of the Holy One. And Mary sings a song honoring God who has remembered and been merciful to Elizabeth. You see, it's not too hard to see why these women would spend 3 months together after that. Their relationship, this relationship of the generations, nurtured one another's experience of God. Through a Savior, we are set free, and we cannot and we are not able to do it on our own. Our dependency on God is the root of all of our other relationships, all of our other relationships. And it's not what's accomplished in one lifetime. It's what gets passed down from generation to generation. If we were to create a timeline of the Judeo-Christian faithfulness across all years, beginning at the very beginning of Israel, scholars have suggested that the nation of Israel hammered out all the theology of God in the Old Testament. The Old Testament gives us everything that we need to know about the doctrines of God. And then after Jesus, the New Testament, of course, gives us everything we need to know about Christ. Well, up until about the 1800s, that was the work of the church. It was a kind of a hammering out of a theology that we called Christology. So everything about Jesus became well understood in the church at that time. Since the early 1900s, at the birth of Pentecostalism, the church has been growing in understanding of the mystery of the Holy Spirit. And I say that sounds like a paradox, doesn't it, right? An understanding of the mystery. Well, Jesus taught in paradoxes, right? That's what he did. The understanding of the mystery of the Holy Spirit. You see, our growth in faith takes a long time. Our growth in faith takes generations, and we don't see the results of God's plan in the time it takes to text or email. Faithful generations make room for God to grow in their lives, room for hope for the next generation. So the second thing that Mary teaches us today is that God works through the generations, and therefore all of our relationships matter to God, especially are making room for relationship with Jesus Christ. And the third thing that Mary proclaims is a declaration that God will overturn all the world's values. Mary declares that God will deal with the proud, the rulers, and the rich. He will scatter them, and instead, the humble and the hungry are going to be lifted up. At long last, justice will be done. If you think you have been overlooked and you don't matter to God, if you think you are not worth much to God, Mary would tell you that you can't do anything to earn God's recognition. And it is not about what you do or what you have. It is about being humble enough to depend entirely on God. So make room in your life for God to grow. Emmanuel, God with you, right? That's what we're celebrating tomorrow. God with us, the birth of Emmanuel. At this time of year, there is so much background noise that we have to deal with, and as we plan and prepare and shop for this holiday, it's sometimes very hard to hear God. But Mary's proclamation brings us the essential of Christmas preparations, simply to make room for God. Well, this Christmas, my prayer for you is that you will rejoice in hope any time you enter an unknown path. I pray that your Christmas celebration makes room for hope through what you give of Christ to the next generation. And I pray that the values of our world will pass away in the light and vulnerability, in the humility of those like Mary who carry the Spirit of God out into the world. Make room for hope and find Christ this Christmas. I'd like for us to magnify the goodness of our Lord as we offer one another the peace of Christ.